afternoon. Good afternoon. How's the afternoon? How's the afternoon treating you? Running. With the committee period. Running from one committee to the other. Okay. Welcome everybody. My apologies. I was trying to change the meeting, but it's sitting somewhere. That is deciding the delegation to go to Mexico. But I was outvoted. The meeting is going on, so I said, okay, I'll just hear the decision. Because I'm trying to get more members to participate, but it seems if you're not there to motivate, it seems problematic. But anyway, we will hear the results afterwards, because I felt I cannot delay the meeting further. Apologies what we have today from the minister. Is it Esther here? I know you are not going to be happy to hear the apology from the minister. But the minister is not going to be able to be part of our meeting today and tomorrow because she's on the official state visit to Egypt with the president. Then the next apology is from the acting chairperson of PetroSA, Advocate Linda Makatini. She's also part of the official visit to Egypt. Those are the two. And then we've got the apology from Member Nchabele, who's in the Northwest, unless if he joins the meeting later. And that's that. Who else apologized? No one. All right. Those are the apologies. Are we accepting the apologies, committee members? Moved and seconded. Okay, and said it. All right. And then back to the agenda then for the day. We are continuing with the annual reports. We're left with two, CF and Nexa, that we have to deal with them today. Then we'll discuss a bit about after that the ELS committee members about the France study tour. There might be a possibility of day changes a little bit, not too much, but we will discuss about that afterwards. Can we then continue then with the, but also see the presence of the department is here. Who else is here? DOE only. And Nexa and CF only and group companies. Oh, those that fall under CF. Okay. Can we then start? Can we start with the CF and we'll continue with Nexa? CO, are you okay? Fine. Okay. Let's give the CF then a chance to give their annual report.
Can we put on the microphone on?
And I'd like just to present the group structure. Before I go on with the presentation, as listed in the slide on the screen, CF comprises all those companies listed there, and an unincorporated division called the EDC, which is the repository of our activity in the renewable energy space that we are playing in. PetroSA is a major asset of the company, and it comprises over 90% of our activity. And we will, after presenting the group structure, the group results, hand over to them to give more details about their own results. has indicated our space is in renewable energy, fossil fuels, and some other cross-cutting issues. And the renewable energy is within the EDC division. And the conventional fossil fuels like petrol, diesel, and all of those is PetroSA and SFF. Those are renewable energy activities. And the challenges we faced in the past year, Chair, are well known. The global economic downturn has had an impact on our results. The dwindling gas reserves, which supply gas in Mossel Bay, is a concern that we have expressed many a times, and we're dealing with it, though. But more than anything, the renewable energy activities of SEF have been impacted by the electricity regulations on new generation capacity, which were published in the IRP 1. This, I must report, Chair, specifically, this excludes companies like CEF from participating as majority shareholders in new generation capacity that has been announced. This is having a severe impact on the activities that we've already commenced in the prior years, and certainly will have major impacts for SEF and the group going forward. We also had a shutdown last year, which also impacted heavily on the results of PetroSA and consequently the group. The highlight, Chair, is that we continued to maintain the strategic stocks that we were mandated to hold by government. We managed environmental responsibilities and liabilities in Saldanha and Orchids without incident. I must state this because, you know, when no incident occurs, people is like you're doing nothing, but we're doing a lot of work in the background to manage this liability, because there's a heavy liability in Orchids and the potential liability in Saldanha if we don't manage this well. We expanded the pipe gas capacity in the pipeline that we own with Sasol and the Republic of Mozambique. We put an extra compressor, and the volumes of gas coming to the country have increased since this company was started. And, Chair, we have had significant progress in our attempt to exploit coal and other resources via African Exploration, which is the mining company which is owned by SEF. We continued managing the petroleum licensing activities via the Petroleum Agency, and we had a very successful maintenance shutdown at PetroSA. Again, you know, if something goes wrong, like it happened in 2002, which had a deleterious effect on the results, it would have been in the news, but nothing happened, and there was nothing in the news. So that's why the shutdown was successful. And we continued also, Chair, with our research activities in the energy hubs which we have set up in the universities like Stellenbosch, UCT, University of Pretoria, University of Northwest. Those were our major hubs. And then we also continued with our own in-house R&D projects. And a lot of activities happened on the energy efficiency front, despite the lack of funding that came with the mandate to set up a National Energy Efficiency Agency. We also set up, I think this is the first, carbon trading division to take advantage of the CDM mechanism within SEF. And this was going to be taking advantage of the emissions reductions we're going to get from the project that we're undertaking ourselves, but also looking at some other projects within the region, because we found that Africa in general has fallen behind all the developing countries in terms of putting projects through the CDM mechanism. We again collaborated with the Norwegian agency and set up a Carbon Steam Africa, which is an agency that serves to build capacity for young people to be able to themselves implement the CBM processes of the United Nations. Again, this is the first, because in South Africa presently nobody is able to develop those, what they call them, PDD, project development projects. We also sponsored or paid all the expenses of SASDA, and SASDA is supposed to be an agency of the state which is there to break the barriers into the energy industry so that the industry could implement the provisions of the Liquid Fuels Charter. Chair, I'm putting the results up there, which show a loss for the year under review for the group. And as indicated, Chair, the loss, I think Petro-SA will talk to it, is caused mainly by the lower oil price in the year under review compared to the previous year. I think this year, for example, just $65 per barrel average compared to $83 per barrel the previous year. It's also a shutdown, Chair, which is what depressed the revenue figures from the $12 million of the previous year. I think Petro-SA will report that we did, despite this, embark on some cost-cutting measures to improve the profitability of the group. It could have been worse, that is what I want to say. Could have been worse. Then, in general, the other companies in the group are solely supported by SEF. Most of them, if not all of them, except SFF, are in development stage. EGAS, which is owning the pipeline with Sasol, started to earn dividends. SASDA is a cost center fully funded by SEF, but they are hoping to fund themselves within the next year or two. Oil Pollution Control of South Africa is a company designed to make a trade in Saldanha and also to manage the liability in Ochis. Company was making a loss prior to this year, but for the first time this year, it showed a small profit, and so it will not be defended in SEF for its upkeep. I'm going to hand over to Petro-SA now to continue if they want to.
I'm going to briefly talk about the background just to, for the benefit of members who are here today, and I will also talk about the salient features pertaining to the performance. And Mr. Lika, who is the Chief Financial Officer, will present the financials. Just to reiterate our vision and the mission for Petro-SA, our vision says we want to be the leading African energy company. And our mission is to be the leading provider of hydrocarbons and related quality products by leveraging our proven technologies and harnessing our human capital for the benefit of our stakeholders. Our core business as Petro SA is in the exploration and production of oil and gas, and we participate and acquire reserves both locally and in the international upstream business. We also produce through our Mossel Bay refineries synthetic fuels from offshore gas. We also develop domestic refining and liquid fuel logistical infrastructure. And I'm sure members are fully aware of the project Mtombo, which talks to the domestic refining. We also market and trade oil and petrochemicals locally and internationally. Now, what are the salient features of the performance of 2009-10? We experienced challenges as the group CEO of SEF has indicated. Lower revenues are reported. It's 8 billion rands versus 12 billion that was achieved in the previous year. And this is attributed to the lower production volumes, which are as a result of the declining gas fields. Remember, when we talk about the feedstock, we're feeding at about 200 million scfs a day. Now we are feeding 160 million scfs on average. So the gas is declining. We also had a statutory shutdown, which took about 46 days. We also have reduced oil prices, which stood at $69 versus the $84 a barrel the previous year. Hence, we are reporting a loss of 356 million rands versus a profit in the previous year of 1.9 billion rands. Yes, we did have a successful shutdown, which was completed below budget. We have also submitted to the minister proposal for the FEED stage. We have finished the feasibility studies. We are just waiting for cabinet approval. We also had a good safety record for the previous year. There were no fatalities, and there was one environmental incident. Now, coming to the performance, again, the set objectives for the year. For people, the objectives are around people, finance, stakeholder, and internal business processes. On people, in terms of management control, we have seven females out of a total of 23. That includes the board and the executives. And of course, some of the people who are in the board, the female board members, have since resigned. I mean, their term had ended. So we are hoping that number would increase when new board members are joining the PetroSA board. On the employment equity item, they out of 78% of the total employment, 78% of the total number of employees at PetroSA come from the historically disadvantaged background. And of that 78%, we've got 26% being female employees. Again, they will put a red face because we definitely want to have more females, especially at executive level. However, if we look at the history of PetroSA, we talk about Mosque Gas, we talk about Suku, the situation was worse then, and there's still room for improvement. On the skills development, we have spent 20 million rands on skills development, and that's around bursaries that we offer, the leadership development, where we use the Vets Business School, and also the Center of Excellence in Mossel Bay. Now, what are the initiatives that we have undertaken in the previous year and to date to try and improve on our transformation situation? We have a women leadership program where there's a women leadership program in VETS where we send candidates to undergo training there. We also had a project called Talent Evolution, and that project looks at retention and attraction of skills with particular focus on women and people living with disabilities. We also had a campaign in the form of workshops to talk to managers about disabilities and employment equity to try and address this situation. We're also expanding the Center of Excellence in Mossel Bay so that we can have more trainees. and we continue to participate in the competitive supplier development program. Now, the Center of Mosel Bay, Center of Excellence in Mosel Bay was established in 2002, and so far we have trained over 642 artisans, of which 300 have permanent jobs within PetroSA. The 200 trainees to date are currently being trained, and this financial are currently being trained there, and we believe that once we get approval for the FEED, we will also replicate the same training center in Guha. Now, talking about the stakeholders, where we talk about preferential procurement and BE sales, good progress has been made there. If we were to compare how we performed in the previous years, under preferential procurement, 49%. Has been spent on preferential of the total expenditure has been spent on BEs, and this is way above the industry charter requirements. On the BE sales, we increased our performance there by 27% from 146 million liters to 186 million liters. Of course, whilst this is an improvement from the previous year, we would love to do more. But the constraint there is that PetroSA doesn't have the logistics infrastructure that would make our reach to be much bigger in the market. We also have CSI projects, and we spend 35 million rands, which is about 35% of the industry expenditure on CSI initiatives. On the enterprise development, we have spent 36 million. As we spent 69 million rands the past financial year from 36 million in the previous year. And of course, we pride ourselves in attaining the level 2 BEE status, which was verified by EmpowerDex. Now, this shows the footprint of PetroSA in the country where we have CSI projects. We chose to go to the provinces that have been identified as presidential poverty nodes. But of course, even though Western Cape is not in that, not in the poverty node, but that's where we have our activities, and we also focus on Western Cape as well. And we, as I have indicated, we have spent 35 million in the previous year. Those companies stated they are the companies that are benefiting from the competitive supplier development program. So Pumelela Painting, which does industrial painting for us onshore and offshore. The Siyakhona Scaffolding, which we use at the refinery. Metamorphic Engineering, which is the fabrication services that we use at the refinery, and also fire services. And we spent the 69 million rands in the past financial year. Internal business processes, which is also our performance area, good progress has been made there. If members would recall, we indicated that we would look at the LNG. We did look at the LNG, and we discarded that project in the past financial year because the price of LNG was just too high for us to continue with that project. But now that the price of LNG has gone down slightly, we have revived that project, and there are members who are busy developing it, hoping to get the final investment decision by January, February of 2011. We are also looking at the FO development. The FO is a field where some pockets of gas have been found, and so we are also going to have the FID development at the final investment decision by the board next year, February. We started looking at the field for Mosel Bay refinery, starting with the phase one, which was the FA field, And when the gas was declining there, we started looking at the EM fields, which then led to what is known as the South Coast gas development, which is what we are using to date. However, now because the gas is depleting from that field, we are now looking at the FO. And FO is the next phase, and we have we're anticipating to have an equivalent of about 1 TCF, which will take us from 2013 up to about 2019, depending on really what we find when we drill. But there is gas available there. It's a question of the cost of extracting that gas. The shutdown, we spent below budget on the shutdown, even though the duration was longer than anticipated because of weather and some extended scope of work, but we still spend far below budget. On the infrastructure initiatives, as I had indicated, we're just waiting for the full approval by cabinet. We have a project called Project Castle, and that project is looking at, developed to look at the downstream market. So we're having discussions with various parties to see how we enter the downstream market. So far, there's nothing that we can report. It's still a work in progress. On the environmental incidents, there was just one environmental incident where 72 employees were exposed to some chemical, but there was no serious health problem there. They went to see the doctors and everybody was okay. We also have a problem with the drought in Mossel Bay. We hope that the few rains we've had in the past few days would help. We started that picture there shows where we were in the previous years, where the dam was at 100%, and we've seen the decline in the past 4 years. But we have begun to do there are some initiatives that we have undertaken together with the municipality in George, where we're building a desalination plant, which we hope will come on stream in December. We also have the effluent treatment plant, and most of it is supplying 5 million liters per day. We are also reclining storm water and effluent water. But of course, storm water when it's raining, but effluent water, you know, we have it. So those are the projects that we're busy with in Mossel Bay to try and address the drought problem. And also we have campaigns within the company to talk about water and how we use water efficiently. Those are the key performance indicators that we have for the company. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Niga to present to you the financials of the company. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, again, the basis is to move from these preset performance targets. The target I will be dealing with, as the CEO had indicated, is finance, which is basically profitability. And again, as the group CEO had indicated, we had recorded a loss this year. And again, I'll start by sketching the past, where we're coming from as Federal SA. As can be seen on this slide, Chairperson, this is the first year in the years that Federal SA existed, its current format, that we are reporting a loss. And we have been over the years reporting the profits. And also at the same time, we have been, as Federal SA, been able to pay a dividend. Cumulatively, the profit of Federal SA since 2003, it's about 10 billion, and of that, we have paid out 30%, about 3 billion in the form of dividends. Especially if we were to look at why the losses the current year, as the group CEO had indicated, we are moving from a year, which is the previous year, where our crude price per barrel was about, in average, $84 per barrel, and the current year is about $68. And at the same time, the issue of the shutdown, we had 46 days where the plant was down because of a planned maintenance, and coupled with the issue of dwindling reserves. So that is what has led to us making a loss. So I just wanted to start by that background, that this is the first time that we are making a loss. In 2004, as can be seen, that is the year we had a huge problem. The plant didn't wake up from a shutdown situation, so that ended up being a breakdown. So we were down for about 6 months. The results, again, which I included in the CEF group results, indicated on this slide, and again, the information is that last year, if one looks at the bottom line, I must apologize, Madam Chair, my pointer has decided to die on me. We had 1.9 a profit the previous year, and this year we have a loss of 356 million. And on the right-hand side of that slide, we're trying to unpack why have we made a loss. First, the volumes were 7% down, as I indicated on the previous slide, and also the rand-dollar exchange rate, as the rand was strengthened for about 8%, and also the Brent crude price, which went down for about 18%, that is from 68 to 84%. Again, that then led to us having lower gross revenue. Cost of sales, of course, they decreased because they change and fluctuate with stock, with what we have sold. And we had other income and also some change in provision for sable abandonment. On our part as management, what we did when we realized that we are losing volumes, and we had come up with savings. 250 million resulted from cost savings. As can be seen, that the previous year our operating costs were in the region of 2.5 billion, and in the current year we had 2.3 billion. Investment income was lower because we had lower cash. So all in all, that is how we ended up reporting a loss. Again, explaining that loss by means of a picture is 819 of it was a volume variance. We lost volume to that extent. 2.2 billion was on price, because again, as we saw that the rand was strengthening, and the crude price fell, and then 965 is because of the rand dollar strengthening. So the total revenue variance of 4 billion is that's how it's being attributed. Okay. So that was just an explanation of that volume variance loss. And then on the consolidated balance sheet, we continue to have a fairly strong balance sheet in that we, in terms of liquidity, we have cash, which from previous year we had 11.3, the current year we have 10 billion. The other changes was in the form of property, plant, and equipment, which increased by 1.5 billion. Again, it's because of the FO work we are doing, 1.2 billion, and we increased our working capital by decreasing our creditors. And also, again, just to point out, other current liabilities decreased by 604 million. That is due to an asset which we are in the process of disposing, that is our investment in a company in Nigeria. And then the group cash flow again, which is reflective of what has been happening, the top line, which is cash from operations, for the first time, I mean, for this year, we have used from operations 1,000,000,068, whereas in the previous year we had contributed from operations 1,083. Again, it's mainly due to the fact that we had a shutdown when the plant was down for 46 days. And again, something other to point out is that cash movement is due to this Abana operation, which we are in the process of disposing. Then the key ratios, which indicate both the strength of the balance sheet and the profitability of the company. Gearing, as I indicated, remains stable at about 19%. And that gearing, how we calculate it, that is the ratio between the amount of debt and the equity that has been used, and we include the provision for abandonment, because that we have to fund some time. In terms of profitability, again, as expected, the previous year we were 8.3 positive. This year we're making a loss of 1.6, same as return on equity. A current ratio, which is an indication of liquidity and solvency, we quite stable. We were 1.71 last year, we were 1.76 this year. So, Madam Chair, that is the financial performance of the organization in a nutshell. I have also, because we are doing presenting the annual financial statements, looked at the Auditor General's report. And just to point out to the members that it is an unqualified opinion. However, there are issues that have been raised in that report. The first one is fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 15.15 million. 5 million of that is interest which we were charged by SARS, that is the receiver of revenue, in connection with the VAT payment for one of our subsidiaries, which is Equatorial Guinea. In terms of the VAT legislation interpretation, we were advised and in agreement at one time with SARS that there was no need for us to register for this subsidiary. And subsequently, SARS changed their mind to say, no, you should have registered. And they charged us VAT from the time we should have registered, and they charged us penalty. Again, as we speak, Madam Chair, they since changed that position in that they are going to refund us the interest of 12.3 million. But now they are arguing that they will charge us penalty, which is less. That will be 12 million versus 5 million. But we are still engaging them on that. The rest of fruitless and wasteful expenditure relates to contracts and procurement contracts, which were cancelled not in accordance with the contractual terms. And when it comes, it's covered in the annual report. The irregular expenditure is at about 300,000, which also is covered in the auditor's opinion. This relates to an employee who contracted service providers beyond her level of authority. And again, action has been taken against that employee, but the company ended up having to ratify that expenditure and utilizing the services so acquired. And then another one which the Auditor General picks up is around environmental management system, which is subsurface contamination in Fourby in Mossel Bay. This is when we acquired this land, this condition existed. and this was pointed out by the Auditor General or by some consultant 2 years back. But the solution was not to be short-term. We were busy still implementing the solution, and when the Auditor General picked it up again, so they reported it as a repeat finding. So we are addressing that issue of the subsurface contamination, but it's not a one-year solution. It has to be a long-term solution. Madam Chair, I thought I should just pick up on that because the audit opinion is not it mentioned those. Then, in conclusion, we thought that let's quickly look at what are we doing as Petro SA in terms of the Energy Security Master Plan of 2007. That is, which amongst others, it looks at the issue of indigenous raw materials that should contribute to local production of Finnish petroleum products. We are on track, as Petro SA, our plans are addressing that. The FO development, which again, as the CEO pointed out, is costing us over $1 billion, is addressing the issue of indigenous raw materials. The climate change to be considered in energy planning. Our efforts on the GTL, on the synthetic fuel, which is cleaner than any other fuel, and also our plans to build a crude refinery which is modern in terms of fuel spec, are addressing that issue. Us being required that 30% of all the crude consumed is procured through Petro SA, that is again the driver for our Mtombo initiative and also for our logistics infrastructure development. And then also the issue of a commercial strategic stock cover to prevent future supply crisis, that again is catered for in our stock holding and the way we run the business. Again, in conclusion, Madam Chair, as Petro SA, the shareholder support will be required in ensuring that we address the issue of security of supply for the country, and that again will be in the form of a positive Mtombo feed decision, which would facilitate us achieving that. Again, the funding support to realize some of the Energy Security Master Plan recommendations, such as, again, the Mtombo, the crude refinery project, and the issue of us acquiring reserves elsewhere in the continent. Madam Chair, that is our presentation.
Thank you. Is that your feedstock? No, you were talking about our fifth talk and the acting CEO as well. So maybe I thought it was that one. Thank you very much. I hope members noted their questions, concerns, etc. Can we start with the CF first, because there are two. So, the CF and then move on to Petro SA. Any questions from CF, comments? Nothing. Okay. Oh. Kroileng, Mutam, the first one.
Yeah, Chair, thanks. I just wanted to ask the CEF, you mentioned that there were problems with the energy efficiency campaign around particularly funding of the Energy Efficiency Agency. What is the situation at the moment? Because, I mean, as I've seen in the emergency plan that has come out from Cabinet in the last 3 weeks, that far more emphasis is going to have to be placed on energy efficiency as a way of mitigating this potential crisis. So I think it's important for us to gain some kind of insight into what has been done on energy efficiency, or have we got the agency up and running now, or has it been taken away from CEF? What are the kind of things that we can expect to see from this particular agency?
Okay. Muta.
Thank you, Chair. couple of questions that I think are bothering me with regard to CEF. The financials, this wasteful, fruitless expenditure. And if you take it together, if you take CEF and you take it together with PetroSA, then you get a very disturbing picture, because if you take the 24 million from CEF and the 15 million from PetroSA, you have about nearly 40 million in wasteful and fruitless expenditure, and that a lot of it, in spite of what was explained here regarding PetroSA, you have penalties for what appears to me to be negligence on the part of officials. Either they neglect to do things in time, or they don't know what they should do. And I would really like to have some clarity on that, because you can't just give away, you know, 40 million to, you know, whoever, because people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. The other issue has to do with that comes to PetroSA. I'll deal with that. But that's my main concern with CEF is exactly this thing about wasting money, and what are we going to do about it? Is it because people don't know what they're supposed to do? Is there a plan? Are we going to make sure that it doesn't happen? That's
on the Energy Efficiency Agency. I think these are organizational or institutional problems, because the agency was supposed to be itself, but it came with an unfunded mandate. There were no funds to execute what was planned. And then in the Electricity Act, the agency is placed with Saneri, which was one of the self subsidiaries, into an institute called Sanedi, and it is going to move out of CEF, and I think from there that is how the agency is going to be funded. But presently there are no funds to do whatever activities of the efficiency agents. Regarding the wasteful and fruitless expenditure, Chair, if you look at our group accounts, again, the 10.5, which is the bulk of this, relates to interest that SARS is charging for tax. Again, this is a dispute, because managers are trying to save money and they're not paying the tax if they don't have to pay. Again, because SARS will say this year, and then somebody comes into the job and then they say something. It's not the fault of our own people, but it's them changing their position, because this is a dispute, and we will refer the matter to the minister. Because if I can just expand, this matter relates to the fact that SFF is an agent of the state. I mean, when it was incorporated, and even in our governance structure, we are doing what we are doing at SFF as an agent of the state. The minister tells us where to store the crude. If we want to take out the crude, for example, we have to get permission from the minister. So it's functioning as an agent of the state, and we believe that as an agent of the state, it shouldn't be paying tax, and which is what we have asked the minister to take up with the relevant tax authorities. So I think it's prudence on our part that we shouldn't pay the tax if we don't have to pay the tax. Yeah, that is the bulk of it, Chair. Unless there's a
check, ma'am. Yes, there's another concern, and it comes across to me as if somebody is gambling. We will not pay the money, and then we'll hold it and we'll invest it. And if they say we have to pay, then we will pay it. And then you have a situation where you say we were supposed to pay 10 million or 12 million, and they charged us 10 million. We have made 2 million. I think it's speculation. I think it's gambling. I think it's a dangerous, dangerous practice. Because one day it's going to be a lot of money that's going to be lost. So if it's happening, if I'm wrong, prove me wrong,
if it's happening, if some of your officials are speculating with public funds, they're going to get this company into very serious trouble.
Do you want to respond to this?
Yeah. Madam Chair, through you, what has happened historically, SFF has been a Section 21 company and has enjoyed the status of being an agent of the state. Up until recently, SARS has changed their position and have imposed tax for 2006 financial year. We are not gambling with the state's money. What we have done is engaged tax consultants to advise us accordingly. And at this point in time, it appears that we are at a block in terms of with SARS. So we have now escalated the matter with the DOE to ensure that we can get an appropriate guidance as to, in terms of clarity, whether we must start paying tax, because historically we've never paid tax on SFF, or we continue to enjoy the status of an agent of the state.
Okay, we do hear the answer, but the issue is that, I mean, it should not be repeatedly done all the time. There should be some form of resolving this issue, because it cannot be. Aren't you entering into some form of written something from SARS? I mean, is it just by gentleman's agreement that no, don't pay or pay whatever? Because I think this should then be dealt with and have a clear policy.
We have engaged SARS in the matter. They have actually advised us that at this stage, instead of two state entities taking it to court, we should rather engage our ministers and seek clarity in the way forward.
Still not satisfactory, but in any way, let's leave it. Are there any other questions from members? If not, then I have to pass. My comment, I think, is just one that it seems as if looking at the challenges that have raised CF and in some other pages, it seems as if PetroSA is the company. The others are just like secondary or their offers. Referred to some of them. Why? I understand, I mean, maybe PetroSA can be whatever, but I mean, why less on the others? PRASA also plays a key role, and all the others. Why only emphasis on that, even on a reserve, to influence the reserve from PetroSA? What? It means PetroSA is PetroSA all the time.
Yes, Chair, as I indicated, SEF starts these companies. PetroSA was also started by SEF and was funded by SEF in the same manner as these other companies. And it is what it is now because of the incubation and the growth and the nurturing that it got from SEF. So we are hoping that by starting these other companies, we'll get to the same extent as PetroSA. I indicated that EGAS is starting. We've got African exploration, which has got potential. We always say the next Anglo-American in South Africa is African exploration. PASA, Chair, I would say it's not a company in the normal sense of it because it's a regulatory agent. And the status is unclear. But we're bullish about the rest of the companies like EGAS and African exploration. And SFF has been making significant profits in the past year. I mean, I think last year we talked 200 million rand in profits out of revenues of only about 400 million rand. But in any airport's book, that is good management, 50% profits.
Okay, fine, but your answer is still not that satisfactory. The other regulators, you hear more of them. I mean, NNF and NERSA, you hear a lot about them by whatever those that are dealing with. But from yourself, it's like, PASAI, well, it's one of those, whatever. So there should be some way of dealing with it. But anyway, thanks for the answer. Before we move to PetroSA, I think we have to deal with the CFA, the annual report for last year, in order to move from there. And yes, CEO, we have to deal with that. It seems as if other members don't have a question on this one, in order to move on that and move to PetroSA. Can we? Moss?
Chair, I want to raise a concern. I hear what the CFO, CEO is saying, I hear that he's saying that SFF make a lot of profit, but I don't hear what type of investment is he doing around those communities on to change their lives. Like you're saying here in page, I think page 8, you speak about Malaton and Saldanha Bay. And if I look, driving on the N7 and I look to the noon, then you can't believe that people staying like that. So I just want to raise it because it don't help you make a lot of profit. Why are those entities for? Only to make profit.
Chair, we believe that the business of business is to make profit. And however, we do lend our hand to projects that that impact positively on the community. And I do concede that SFF has operated in that area for a long time and has not in the last few years. It did in the past, has not in the last few years been engaged in community projects. And I take the point, but it did in the past, but not in the past financial year. And I do undertake that we will certainly look at that in the future.
Thank you, Chad. Something that I meant to raise, SASDA. This is a body which is supposed to assist people to get into the industry. And recently we were listening to a group of women, and they were saying the fuel charter is really just a lot of charter. People are just talking, nobody's helping them, and SASDA is supposed to be a facilitator in this regard. What's happening? What is it doing to really, especially with a focus on women who want to be in the business?
SASDA is trying very hard, and I think maybe Mr. Mutau in his previous life would know how difficult it is to deal with these oil companies. SASDA is trying, and I think they're making progress. Slowly, they are making progress. That's why I was saying they're even looking at funding themselves in the next year or two. But they are opening up access to the oil companies. And so the position that they have taken is not to engage in rancor and shouting with these oil companies. They're talking to them in a constructive way, and we're finding that is opening up the possibilities in the old companies. And as I said, they're not difficult companies to work with, but there is movement, which I think will show in the next few years.
Yeah, but I think there's a problem there, because if they are formed to do something, they don't want to make a lot of noise, they're working subtly with this refinery, whatever, then it means there's a problem there. Because they are formed it is formed to assist, but in terms of the liquid fuel charter, 10 years down the line, actually, there's no progress. The historically disadvantaged people are battling with lots of things. I don't want even to name them, but it's quite a lot. Member Mutau is quite correct. I mean, they should be doing more and making a lot of noise. That would be better off than just being diplomatic and being silent and dealing with something that we don't know as a public website. What is it that they're doing? So the answer is not satisfactory as such. Sila, I want to be the last one, then we move.
Chairperson, Central Energy Fund, CEF. The vision and the mandate thereof, the situation as it was last year, the situation as it is now, and the future does not seem to be clearly outlined by this presentation to me. Where do we go? Where do we come from? are we and where do we go? When we leave this room today, what do we say about this company, this group structure? Do we really see progress in between what they reported last year with Petro SA making it and the rest of them in the forming stage? This year they're still in the forming stage. Instead, what is reported this year is a loss from Petro SA, which we understand, of course, as a result of the shutdown and other matters that have been raised. But where are we going? Do you, CEO, see a brighter future for the developmental state that we are looking at and for the future of South Africans as a result of this particular economic development?
I've got to be careful here. When we present the results, we're looking at last year. This is 2009-2010. In fact, when you write a director's report, we always say it must be in the past tense, not in the future tense. You know, the director's report is the key to the activities of the company. It's always the past tense. That's why they teach you when you do this thing. We wary of looking at the future and predicting it in this forum when we're talking about the past. Maybe another opportunity can present itself for us to look at that, so that there can be no ambiguity as to what has been done and what can be done and what we will be doing in the future. So by the fact that we are here and the Auditor General has put up a report without questioning the ability of the company to continue in the future, I think indicates to us that the company financially can exist in the future. Now, the question that we're grappling with as managers every day, even especially this year, is what is our role going to be in the future in the light of the changes? Because we have to look at that all the time. As I indicated earlier on, there is a regulation from our own department which prohibits us from continuing the projects that we have started. It says you cannot own these projects 100%. That is, we have to look at how do we go forward as CEF in the light of that? And we're grappling with that. We're talking to the department. We don't know yet how this is going to be resolved, but we want it to be resolved soon because it's creating uncertainty within the group.
You are raising another matter, because with what you say, then for us, we must do the recommendation then to close CEF. That is the long and short that I can read from what you're saying. We recommend, or we take your budget and give it to other entities that will do a better job while you're still thinking what should be the future of CEF. Is that not a good proposal that we have to then propose and then we give it to others? Maybe give it to Nexa, we've got a lot to deal with here, or we give it to Petro SA and others. And then when you have then dealt with all the issues that the members are raising, because we are asking these questions because money has been appropriated to deal with some of this, and these companies need to do something. That is why then we call you here. Otherwise, why should we call you here then to Parliament if there's no progress? And as I was saying before, we don't want some of those people to be quiet, like the PASA and others, because we've got enough diplomats that do the diplomatic work. Their job is to make sure that there's development and we need transformation. It's as simple as that. But also, it is critical what the two members are raising. Do you agree that we must either take a budget somewhere or close up with them?
Businesses, every year, they look at the future and their relevance to what they do. They do the have now is staying in the renewable energy space. That's a new field. We're the first ones to do that. And nobody else was doing it when it was not making money. We're making progress there. It's just that there are certain regulations which are stopping us from continuing the work we're doing. But we're the first. We have, I reported here, we are the first agents in South Africa to set up a carbon trading mechanism. That is taking advantage of, that is looking into the future. And that business, I don't want to quote figures, but it's a very good business, profitable, and nobody else in the country, including the private sector, has done it except SEF. So we're making progress. We're making progress in terms of complying with the United Nations framework for climate change, getting these PDGs. We are the only ones, again, in the country who have been able to do that. And we're the only ones who are generating their own carbon emission reductions, which we are going to sell through our own agency. We set up a company in London to do this. We've been interacting with people all over the world. That is looking into the future. But we're not going to only look at the rosy part. We've got to look at all the parts. We can come here and say, oh, everything is going to be rosy in the future. We've got to look at all sides. But we are positive about the future. We've done many things. We must see the people who come to serve. We a center for knowledge in this field in South Africa with the facilities that we have. I concede that some of these companies are small. They are not making money now. PetroSA was small, Chair. We wrote 12 billion rands off in PetroSA for them to be profitable, SF. They were small like these companies. Look at what they are now. Some of these, if we manage them well and look into the future, because this is long term, they can be to the extent that they can reach the extent that PetroSA has.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a short remark. But I think they were asking you exactly what you're trying to explain now a little bit, but you didn't answer the same way, so I don't know why. Because they were asking you, where do we go? What's the future and all that? But that didn't come up. It's only now that you seem to be worked up a little bit. Then you are giving the answer. So let's. I'm sure we will find space to talk.
Chairperson, through you. Maybe it will be important, Chairperson, in order for us to sing from the same hymn book. To have some presentations from these companies, small as they are, we must have. You know, when you talk PetroSA, we know what you're talking about, because from time to time they talk to us. Now the rest of them, other than PetroSA, talk to us through you, and what happens is that you give a global picture of who they are, where they are, and how much they are in the beginning stage. But obviously, each and every one of them has a vision and a mission. And if we talk to them, we can be able to isolate out of each of them what their vision and their mission is, and how do they intend arriving or achieving those objectives set out in their own mission.
Chair, we're happy to do that at the appropriate at your invitation.
No, we'll certainly do that. I think that can help us, I'm sure, moving forward to SLAW and MOTA. I think that's the view of the committee. Can we then come back as CEO to the question of the report? You gave us the 209 to 210 report. That I think the members ask questions they are happy with, then we can move forward. But that report is premised on the report that we adopted last year, the 2008 and 9 report that we presented on the 10th of November at the Townhouse Topic Hotel, where we had a meeting because the venues of Parliament were full. On that report, you reported as you were doing just now, and you gave the state of affairs of of CF highlights, etc., and all other issues. And there were questions asked by committee members, and also checking where those projects are, because part of those questions were that you want to go and see those projects, because that is taxpayers' money that has been spent, and also with your agreements with the municipalities to roll out, because those were roll out, the solar water heaters. Members, I'm sure, will remember last year's report at the townhouse. So, subsequent to that, members will remember we postponed the CF oversight work because we had to go and see those solar water heaters until a time came that we've been getting excuses from time to time. That no, there's a meeting, board meeting, what, there's whatever. Then we said, we're definitely going to go there. But at the end, it turned out that the highlight was a low light. There were no solar water heaters that were rolled out. In Ekuruleni, Nelson Mandela, I'm not sure the Nelson Mandela, but in particular, Ekuruleni was asked where, so that you can go and do oversight work. So it means we adopted a report, a false report, by this committee. And we take that very serious because it means a CEO of CF misled Parliament. If you mislead this committee, you mislead Parliament because you are doing work for Parliament as a portfolio committee. And you've got the right to exercise oversight role, and you're not told where to do oversight role. We choose as members to do oversight role according to the reports, annual reports, because we even mentioned at that meeting, those who were present at the Dolby's that would like to go and see this project and visit them so that we are assured that we are adopting good reports, because we don't unroll the stuff here and find that there's actually zero when you go down the path. So that is the long and short of the issue that is related to the last year's report and to this one with the CF, which is a very, very serious transgression as far as I'm concerned as a chair of this committee. It's totally unacceptable. I mean, to do that, if you're a state-owned entity, you are established for a certain reason, and there's no way that you can come and mislead us here, and in that you mislead Parliament. So, that is the issue at hand, leading to the last report and this one that we are. I'm not sure whether this report that you just talked to ask questions, whether is it a reliable one. All the issues, the highlights that are here, not the low lights as the last year. That is what is here. The trust that is there now between CF and portfolio committee members and Parliament seem to be a bit jittery in terms of the reporting forms. So I'll hand over to members then to indicate what is it I want to say before the CEO can talk to the issue. Members, you've got nothing to say? Oh, Khatere and Sla.
Well, thank you, Chair. I was just busy trying to peruse here. I couldn't be able to have enough time to read the report. But then, it is true, Chair, that also the, you see, in the CEO's report, he's also mentioning that he's going to roll out this 1 million solar water heaters. But in terms of the reality, it's not there. And I think this committee should take a drastic step in terms of this, because people can't come here and mislead this committee, because it's going to become a tendency that each and every person will come and tell us will mislead this committee. It's very unfortunate that when you come here, you cannot be far away from the truth. It must be nearer or precise, because once you become far from the truth, it becomes a problem. Because the report that we received from the Department of Energy that out of half a million, you only 120,000 units that we installed. And it really gives a very serious question. And the report that we received from you, if I remember correctly, you said every lady you've already started to enroll this pro the installation of the solar generators. It's a very serious challenge. It's a very serious one. I think, Chair, if we must get a very serious clarity now, and if not, a very serious drastic step must be taken about the CF. Thanks.
Maybe I think, Chairperson, it's time that the CEO should say to the House what his side of the story is. What we are saying from our side is that a report has been given to Parliament through this committee that a rollout of the solar heaters was taking place in Ekurhuleni. The truth of the matter is that there is no rollout. And if it's not the case, the CEO must give us a direction as to which direction does he think we go, and how much trust can we still further give to CEF under the circumstances.
Is that a view of other members? Tinto?
Thanks, Chair. I don't think we will need to repeat everything that has been said, Chairperson. But I think it's we need to give to the CEO to tell us, either to apologize to the committee and to Parliament for misleading Parliament, or perhaps give us another direction.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the CF, the report here, on page 11, the second last bulletin on that page, CF made a strategic investment into the sector and remains the senior investor for the South African operation. Unfortunately, the commercial scale plant failed to achieve the requirements. Can the CCF clarify us why and why did it fail? What made it to fail? Thank you.
Can I give the CF to respond?
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the easy one first. This project, which is headed Johanna Solar, we don't run the project. We just invested in it because it was technology developed by the investor of Johannesburg. It was the first of its kind in solar PV. So we got involved when the university sold the rights to a German partner, and we wanted to see, because it had never been done, we wanted to see it operating at a commercial scale in Germany, where it was invested. So when they did it, a factory once operated on a linear scale instead of a batch, because we were putting this in an oven, and then, but they found the company, if it's operating better if you put them linearly so that you can put some more, it reduces the fixed cost. So it didn't work like that. It worked in the lab, but it didn't work in the factory. So they have been looking at it again to the extent that there is another developer now of a linear oven who's working with the university and the other partners to develop it here in South Africa, not in Germany. Chair, regarding the solar water heaters, you know, when I was making some remarks there, I said I must be careful because, you know, that's why I want to separate the results from the forecast of the future. What I think happened was, when we're presenting the results, because the results are here, I mean, even the 2008-2009 will always be in the book, so we cannot say we've done something that we haven't done. But what I think happened was, we were telling the committee that we were negotiating and we're agreeing with the municipality about installing solar water heaters in Ekurhuleni. Ekurhuleni was always behind Nelson Mandela, so he couldn't have been the one that was in front. I mean, this misunderstanding has happened here because, for example, now the member there is saying, quoting there in space number, he says, we are committing to, saying we're going to roll 1 million solar water. We never said that. Even in the book here, it's government who's going to do that. But government, we're working with government to, we're trying to align ourselves to do whatever we can, because there are many players in this field. I mean, CF has got no capacity to install 1 million solar water heaters. We could never come here and say we'll install it solar. We can't. So it's government who is committed to doing that, and government is working with many players in South Africa in the energy space. But we are one of the leading players. That is why our role is leading. And I'm saying, Chair, insofar as my remarks last year could have misled the members of the committee, I want to apologize sincerely because it was not my intention. We do not lie at CEF. We don't lie. All our things are written down, and we could not have come here to deliberately mislead the committee. I want to apologize because it seems that impression was given.
Just stop, CEO. CEO, you are dealing with adult people here, and I think you are trying to give an apology that you are trying to qualify it. And I think it's wrong. It is totally wrong. All of us were in that committee. You never said you are trying. The slide is here. Still have it. It was your highlights which were saying that you were developing solar water heaters. We asked the question, is it part of the million that the department is doing? Are you working together or not? You answered. After that, we ask where, if you say it has not been developed, but it has been developed, and then you are rolling out. You said roll out were words that you used last year. You said you rolled out this, and you said where. You told us it was not in the presentation. And you're talking to like, as you are doing now exactly, there's a report, there's this slide presentation that you talked to. You did exactly the same. And we ask where, because we'd like to go and do oversight work after the annual report. Told us they could learn Nelson Mandela. Said, okay, all right, CEO, thanks, Baba, this is a good report, you're doing a good job. Now, to come and try to, you want to justify a little bit and want to qualify is totally wrong. And you are dealing with adult members here. Please don't underestimate us up to that level. We're all sober that time. We held a meeting from 9 o'clock. We're all sober, even wine, those who are taking wine during lunchtime. We have not yet went for lunch at the time that we met last year. So there's no way that you can come and twist words here, change words here, and try. You are trying to protect yourself and say maybe it's misunderstanding. There was no misunderstanding. You were reporting your highlights. And you ask how far they developed. That was a question by members. How far the development is. He said, oh, already, no, rolling out with Ekurhuleni. We ask where Ekurhuleni. Then told us, so please, your explanation to me is totally unacceptable. We are not kindergarten children. We are honorable members, others, and you cannot now come and twist and change ways and all that. There should be a better explanation why those solar were not installed in Ekurhuleni. What is the problem? Tell us the problem.
Oh. fellows here. We didn't roll out solar water heaters because there were no agreements with the municipality that were signed. We've been battling to I mean this thing costs money. We've been battling to come to some kind of agreement. We have come to some agreement with the Nelson Mandela municipality to the extent that we have started rolling out there. But we haven't in Ekurhuleni because there are some problems with signing the agreements. I think that is why we haven't rolled them out up to now.
So on the 10th of November, when you came here to give us an annual report, you were not aware that yourselves, SCF and Ekurhuleni, is not meant. Why then to do them do this type of a highlight of a report to Parliament? You just thumbsack your projects and your reports and you come and tell us this? Or it's proper planning, get facts as they are. If there are problems, you report the problems, because then that I think it is going to be better off than just being misled, deliberately so.
On the report of the 12th of October 2010, I just want to ask the question, who did this municipality, Ekurhuleni municipality, sign the MOU with? And it must be finalized. I'm saying the MOU was being finalized of Ekurhuleni. But who did those municipalities have the MOU? Either it was the department or was it with CEF?
The BRE was the department's presentation, not the CEF. So I think the department, either the DG or whoever is there, can tell us. But that is between the department and the PRA report. Here we are dealing with the annual report where we're misled. So I don't know whether they want to answer the department about the agreement with Ekurhuleni.
Thank you, Chairperson. The MOU has been signed between Eskom, the municipality, and the suppliers of solar water heaters. What we intend doing now is to extend that with SEF. We are already in advanced stage, ma'am, in discussions with SEF on trying to make sure that we accelerate their original program.
DG, don't also add to the problem. Don't think. You must give us accurate answer. Otherwise, you also want to be the same to come next year and tell us. Not next year, next month. After the break, then you come and tell us. If you don't know the answer, say no. Because it's like the way I'm listening to you, you are taking chances a little bit. You think what because the question was related to say, with the Ekurhuleni Municipality, what has been signed? What is the, you know, that it must give maybe some of the answer to the question that is posed to the CEO of CS.
It's between Eskom, the department, and the solar supplier.
Without CF?
No. No.
CF is not in the picture?
Not yet, ma'am. We're still going to sort that one.
Okay, DG, let's leave you. Let's think that you have not received an answer. Hadem.
I'm trying to check maybe with the CF, maybe they can be able to clarify me in your presentation. That you said you are intending to, within your activities, you've got a project of landfill gas, solar water heaters, and wind farm.
I want you to give me a specific in terms of your activity, in terms of this solar wind and water heat. What are you going to do and when and where? Because we must be getting a clarity here so that we don't find ourselves maybe saying next time you misled us, saying you are participating. You just said to us you are part of the stakeholders that must contribute to the solar water heat. According to your statement, when you're correcting me and saying this is a government commitment, and my belief is that as a stakeholder within the government commitments, you're going to contribute something. You wouldn't put this in your own reports if you're not part. So my question is to say, what is your activity then? Because in your presentation, you just mentioned today, you're going to have an activity of the solar water heater. What is that activity and where and when? Yes.
So we're unable to give details now as to when, because this is all over the country. Because, again, I'm reluctant to say, you know, if I don't have the facts, because I want to say 20 here, 30 here, 100 here, and I mean, those are fine details which I don't have yet about where and how we plan, but we do plan to do this in some area.
if you compile a report, you must accept. Why is it part of your report then?
This is last year's report. He's asking about the future. And that is why I said an annual report looks at the past. If you ask me, if it was in last year's report, we'd be having that as background. But if he's asking, what are we going to plan? Where in the future? Where are we going to install? I don't have that, because that is working progress. We can report at the end of last year as to how many we have installed. But I cannot, because I don't want to be in the same position last year where it says, no, you said you're going to install 1,000 there. Where are they? That is my reluctance, Chair. I'm reluctant even to focus how much, because I want to be firm and say, this is how much. And again, because we're working with installers and other people, please understand my reluctance to commit here, because I don't want a situation where I put the number and then the number is not attained.
Okay, so you are giving us an empty report, actually, that you don't know. Stop sucking again. Martina?
Yeah, thank you. Chairperson and CEO, this is not last year's report. It's now. It's the one you are presenting now. Now, not last year's. The last year one is the one with the chair, which the chairperson showed you. But then we are not saying how many. We are saying where, so that we can go and do an oversight. If you cannot tell us how many, tell us where. That's all. Thank you.
The report is 2009 April to 2010 March. That is what we have reported on. Okay, 2010 is this year, but it's up to March. The activities are in the past. Where are we going to install? Frankly, Chair, I don't know, because that is plans which are being worked. We've reported, when we asked to come here, we asked to come to present the annual report for 2009 to 2010. I'm being asked now to report on 2010-2011. And I'm saying here that the plans, I don't have them here. I mean, I don't know where this is going to be done. It could be Ekurhuleni, it could be...
Correction. Point of correction. This is a report for 2009-2010. It yes, it's part of this, but this is a slight presentation where you're trying to explain what happened, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, so you should know where are these.
In future?
No, not future. 2009, 2010.
Oh, no, the member was asking where are we going to be installing
future. She quoted to you this report, which is linked to what was the last year's report in any way of the solar water heaters. And she wants to know, the one that reported on some pages here, what is it, solar water heater, ETA, whatever. I don't know, there's no, the renewable energy activities, never. That is the page that we're asking from, what I'm going to do, from this report that you were presenting to us.
No, Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But still, I think our... Because this is the year that is passed. You should know how many has been installed. You. And Chairperson.
Chair, we have studied in Nelson Mandela, but I can't give the number now because most of these have happened over this calendar year also, in addition to the last financial year. Because, Chair, we don't install these ourselves. So let me just mention the business model.
Wait. You work with other people who deal with this project. Even last year, you said the same. That is why we said, where are those projects rolled out? You said, even this one, it is all the same. You can't just kind of report something that you don't know yourself. You should have a sense of how many. Because here, you are trying to account in a way for the rents and cents spent already, not what you're going to spend. Which is what we'll be asking you next year, I'm sure, or within the BRR, then you must know, at least within the first 6 months, how much you spend. This, you should know, really speaking, with the agreement with those people that are working with, that are installing these heaters, how many and how much you do pay, you should know.
Chair, again, my reluctance is, if I say 100 or 1,000, and then I don't want to put the figure, Chair, but there are solar water heaters which has been installed in Nelson Mandela, but understand my reluctance. I don't want to sit here next year and I'm told, you said last year so many were installed, because I don't have the figure.
So CEO, you don't know the answer. It means you have to decide as a committee whether we accept your report, we adopt it, or we don't. Esla?
I think the one missing thing is that this is an accounting meeting. That is the one missing thing from the side of the CEO. If you are not having the figures now, it's not an offense that you don't have the figures. But if you say to the committee, I don't have the figures now, so I'm not telling you anything, and you close it at that, it shows a passive resistance to give a report. But if you were saying to the committee, I do not have the figures at the moment, I promise to consult with the installers and be able to put together an accurate information and give it to you, say, in a week or in 2 weeks. You know, that kind of an answer is keeping us hopeful that we will get a response in the near future around where is our distance in the municipality taking place and about how many of them have been installed and whether the project is still going on or has been completed. So that if we want to make an oversight, we can be able to go to that particular area of Nelson Mandela and take a look at what has been said by CEF and satisfy ourselves that it is the same. And this is basically what in your response is lacking. And I'm sorry to mention that I realize that the fact that we have spoken to you about Ekurule makes you to fear even where you need not. You don't need to fear to give us a promise. If this thing is definitely there, you show that the people have installed there. You don't have the figures now. There's nothing wrong in saying I don't have the figures now and I'll bring them.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, yeah, I'd like to make a bigger point around all of this as well. And it's a point which I mean, I've been trying to make for the last couple of years as well, is that there seems to be a big kind of rhetorical commitment towards these kind of projects such as solar water heaters, energy efficiency, and there clearly should be a lot of attention paid to this because in terms of the emergency response put out by the latest Department of Energy, these are our two quickest and easiest and cheapest routes to get us out of our electricity crisis. Yet what we are seeing is a whole bunch of institutional problems in terms of the rollout of both energy efficiency and solar water heaters. And what I think I'd like to have clarified in terms of CEF's role in terms of this is that is there a role, because you're saying you're not going to install the solar water heaters yourself. You're looking at getting agreements with municipalities. Is your role to sort out the institutional blockages that are preventing the rollout of solar water heaters or energy efficiency initiatives? And if that is the case, then what success have you had so far? Because what I'm hearing, 3 years down the line after we made a target of 1 million solar water heaters, in fact, 3 years back, we're nowhere near that target, and that's very clear today. What is it that your role is going to be in terms of solving this institutional crisis, and how are you going to work with the DOE in terms of making sure that that happens? Because this has to happen. We cannot have this situation again, whereby we go around numbers here, we don't know what the numbers are, we don't know how many we've rolled out, we've got no progress. We have to get serious about these two issues. And I don't see that seriousness coming through in terms of implementation. And this has to be solved somewhere. Thank you.
Okay. The committee's got the right to subpoena CEF if it doesn't want to give us these figures. We don't have to enforce that. When you do accountability, you don't come to a committee and say you don't have these figures and that figures. That's what it means. You came here not prepared. Came here just to bluff us and say this is what and what. Expect us to say, okay, no, it's fine, then we continue. It's very unfortunate. We can't allow such kind of situation to continue, Chair, because if we allow CF to continue with this, NERSA will come and tell us that we've supplied 4 million some of these infrastructures overseas. But what is the income? Hey, we're not sure of the income. Therefore, there's a sleaziness going on. Because if you can't be able to account in terms of 1, 2, 3 bottles that you bought of water, therefore there is corruption inside. We don't have to go to that such a kind of extent of assuming that. We must be able to get these results. If we can't get it, we must subpoena CF, then they'll know which route they're going to take. Thank you.
I think from this report, it's quite clear, CEO and the team of CF, there's no way that we'll accept this report. We are not going to accept this report, based also on the legacy of the last one. So we have then to meet with the department and with the minister. It's quite a serious matter that we have to engage with the minister, check the level of, not sure, damage made, if there is, in terms of service delivery. Because we cannot, and we've got commitments made right from Kyoto Protocol, right from the Copenhagen Accord that was made by the president of this country, that we are going to roll out, we are going to do this. And if CF is state-owned and it is not doing what it's supposed to do, then there's a problem. There's a bigger problem. And then we are not going to accept this report. We have to check within the time frame of Parliament when we must report, but we cannot report on this because we don't want also to thumbsuck and report something that you don't understand as members of parliament. We then have to summon the department with the minister to come and discuss this issue and check the level of how far the blockage is and damage is, because we should be moving on renewable energy. Lab selling is correct. Khadebe is correct. Slough is correct. Other members were saying we are the one who must make sure that these things happen. That is our role as members of parliament. That is why we play the oversight role. And there's no way that we leave that for chance. We'll be able to get into the bottom of the issue and get to understand how much was committed, how much was done. Khadebe, don't deal with the allegations of corruption before you can even check and prove that there was a strong allegation. That's why we need to get a proper report, check, and make sure that we can then have a better way forward after that, and then we move forward. But as of now, I'm sorry that the CCF report can't be accepted by this committee until we've got answers, clear answers, not thumbsack. Prepare adequately, get the residents, come to us. If there are challenges, want to know where, how, and please don't tell us, don't mislead us. And I hope your apology is taken with the unconditional apology that we're trying to build up. What? No, please. We are not 2-year-olds, we are adults, people here, members of parliament, that you must make sure that you do these things as state-owned entities. And as such, there should be that respect, there should be that preparation for these meetings, and we hope that we'll do as such. And see when do we call you back and we have facts on the table. That was CF. And members, I'm sure you've accepted the apology. All of you. Khadebe, what is it?
I withdraw the accusation. The allegation.
You withdraw the allegation?
I withdraw it.
Yeah, you must first check and come with the investigation. Can't just talk about something that you don't know. Okay? CF and the team, you'll go back to homework, come back. But surely we are going to do oversight work now. And for that matter, we are not going to tell you. We'll go unannounced. We're just doing courtesy because this is the first time. We'll be going to CF offices, NERSA. Petro SA, we've been at least acting CEO and your team and CFO. NERSA, we've been CEO and others. And so we are going to do unannounced oversight work to go and check whether all these things that you're telling us are happening. We even say to all of you who came before, not only the CF, EDI was here, yourself even as a department, DG, and your COO and your team. We are going to go out and do this oversight work as an activist parliament, and we are going to check these things and come back to you. So we hope that this will be a good lesson to all of you. Don't underestimate members of parliament, please. Don't underestimate members of parliament. We may not be chartered accountants and bookkeepers, but please don't underestimate us up to that level that you cannot check delivery. No wonder why there are lots of service delivery process, such things. Telling us something, on the ground, nothing. It's a serious matter. We hope this is going to end and we'll see better cooperation and work together with ourselves, and the trust will be brought back. That will be your role now, to make sure that we can then have that trust back with yourselves. Is that okay? CF?
Yes, sir, we hear you. We hear you, sir. Thank you.
I hope you had the chance, everyone, and members, what they were saying. Can we come back to Petro SA's questions, if you still have questions? I see Lance, Link, David Ross, Sech Mutau, Khadebe, honorable members in that order.
Good, sure. Thanks. I'd just like to know, because you said that one of the reasons why you recorded a loss for this last year was because of the price of oil, international price of oil. I'm just wondering at what price can you be competitive in terms of the price of oil? And I know there's other factors in here, such as the exchange rate and such, but I think it is important for us to know as a committee what kind of a break-even price is for you. Because even while the price of oil is very low over the last year or so, other oil companies around the world were still making huge profits. So I'd like to know how you what your break-even price is in terms of that. Just the other point, though, I mean, just the one around the tax and whether you should be liable for tax or not. I mean, I know that you are a state-owned entity, but you seem to be competing in a private field as well. I mean, surely you would be gaining an unfair advantage over your competitors if you were excluded from having to pay tax. I'd just be interested to hear what your opinions are on that. And then just in terms of, I've been looking at your loan agreements that you've got there in terms of your exploration rights. And I see you loaned 760 million rand and 408 million rand in the previous financial year to explore in Equatorial Guinea. Now that's over a billion rand that you've loaned, it seems, and you've come up with nothing. What I'm also interested in there is why you chose Equatorial Guinea. How were you going to transport the gas if you did find gas up there? How were you going to transport that down to South Africa? How was that going to augment your supplies? And I see you've also spent 990 million rand and 523 million rand loans in exploring for gas in Egypt, which is also a huge amount of money. What was the rationale behind that, and have you got any prospects of discovering any gas in those particular areas? Because that seems to me a huge loan agreement that you've taken out in terms of something that hasn't yielded any results as yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think Lance has dealt with some of the issues, the tax issue and the break-even in terms of the price of oil. Your media release is very positive. It starts off by saying financial position remains strong despite the loss for 2009-2010. But what is extremely concerns me is the 356 million in net losses still. It's a huge amount, and I think we understand that exploration and production of oil and natural gas is a costly affair. And I just wanted to also highlight the issue of Equatorial Guinea and then the Egypt expenses. 500 million, nothing has come out of it. It's unfortunate whether that is made a major contribution to the financial year loss. You know, if it was a private company, your return on capital would be 1.6%. Which, you know, is quite concerning. But we understand it's a difficult situation to explore, and it's highly costly. But the lower revenues, yes, 4 million down, 4 billion, in fact, less 33%, it's a huge concern. And I've mentioned the return on investment. What makes it a bit easier for me to understand is at least that you had an Auditor General's report unqualified, I think. It softens the blow, and that's encouraging. Otherwise, I would have been very concerned. The question that I actually like to ask is, with all these costs and uncertainty, if I may call that uncertainty, is sustaining the gas-to-liquids refinery. It's whether it makes financial sense, whether it makes business sense, and just your, I know we've received this report and it needs to be perused and still studied, but just your business sense in terms of whether that should be pursued. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's actually, my question links up with the issues raised by Honorable Ross. The FO field development, the find, it's estimated at 1 trillion cubic feet. Is this confirmed? Is this what we think may be there? Because it's absolutely important if we are going to answer the questions that the Honorable Ross has mentioned. And, of course, it raises the specter of we're sitting with Mtombo. We are going to be putting lots, we're already putting lots and lots of money in that thing. And there are those who feel actually we are on a hike into nothing with Mtombo. How do we square up these issues?
Honorable Khatebe.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think the question of gas has been be able to be covered. But I'm just having a question to say, in terms of your plans, when do you anticipate to realize challenges? Because when you speak about your dam becoming lower in terms of your water treatments, and you are anticipating a very serious challenge that might, you know, that you might have. When do you plan, you know, these things? Because you have, you know, a lifespan to say this dam can be able to supply for how long, and we can have your whole estimation. Because I'm trying to check a system whereby we avoid, you know, addressing problems. But instead, you must have prevention measures so that you can be able to at least, you know, address things in advance. But the other thing, I was just looking at your graph, your historical performance, and your gain and your loss. I'm trying to check in terms of the systems that you've used from 2004 in recovery. You know, I can see your recovery strategy. I think you had some recovery strategy moving onwards, and now we just have this big loss. But what are your recovery strategy? What are you anticipating? When are you going to be able to at least be stable, or to say, at least at this moment, you know, we're at a good level? Because I think some of the things that you must be able to look at, rather than, you know, saying, there's this problem, and then what? Because you must be able to have recovery systems. But lastly, in terms of the Auditor General's report, obviously, we acknowledge that you've got an unqualified report, but in terms of the opinion, I just want to get a clarity there, and you're plating for, if I'm not mistaken, where I think you were explaining to say, you know, you had an experience whereby an employee gave a contract, you know, beyond his capability or his capacity as a person to contract a certain contractor. I'm trying to check in terms of what measures have you put it in place. I know I've just seen somewhere here that, you know, there are certain investigations that are happening, but I'm trying to look at a red tape that you're going to put for, you know, preventing such kind of things to happen again. Because, you know, one bitten, twice shy. That's
Chairperson, I want to draw attention of PetroSA to the page where they are not marked. The page on performance against objectives. Let's start it there. Your system there is that which says green is good. Caution is yellow is fair, and red is bad. Those are your robots. And then the first one you say, the objective is people, key performance, employment equity, and then your performance results there is the progress made, and you say that's fair. Now, if we go to We open up one page and another page down the line. No. People. No, the same page. Or the following page. You know. Under people. That one is performance against objective. The second one is pay people. That page on people. On performance against objectives, to say people scored fairly. But on employment equity, where is that? No, there is somewhere where, again, you make reference to people performing, the performance there being badly. But let's go to the next one. The next one is the issue of stakeholders. stakeholders is good progress made, but you say it's fair. Cannot be good progress and be fair. It must be good, because it's good progress. Because with the same spoken, see, this is when I'm not talking to you, I'm able to speak to them nicely. That stakeholders here, yeah? There's stakeholders somewhere. No, there's stakeholders here which must be like this, and the stakeholders somewhere in this sense. Now when I look for that stakeholder, I'm not finding it. And in that stakeholders you have given another slide 10. So they are different. The stakeholders here are fair. Somewhere the stakeholders are good or bad. Those kinds of good. No, here stakeholders is fair, but somewhere else stakeholders is good.
Chair, again, maybe on this one, if I can quickly come in and try and address it.
Yeah.
I think I've quickly put the slide up on the screen.
Yeah.
I think the colors here, these arrows, are just for driving. Just for driving this, they are not related to the rating that we are giving later. The fact, for instance, that here on this one that I'm pointing at, it's yellow. It's just for me to click there and go there to the next slide. So the rating is here where we say management control and employment equity is there. We're not doing well. And which is consistent with what is in the annual report. However, on this one, Chair, I agree that here we have sort of unnecessarily punished ourselves, because stakeholder will say preferential procurement, he says good progress made. In fact, we should be saying we've done well. Again, I think we are very conservative and modest in that we didn't say we've done well. We said fairly well, but when we look at it in detail, we have done well. So we should have gone and reported that we are good. That's why I'm saying we are modest. Here in this column we should have. We've written good progress made. So it's consistent with that.
Okay, can we go back to other questions? Are you satisfied with Honorable Slav?
My question was going to be what is the criteria, but he decided to respond before I asked the question.
On the point that Slav saying, yes, it is good, but I think on slide 7, those two things must be addressed. We don't want acting. A woman can't act for how long without a woman acts. I think it must be, if she has the potential, why is she not become I'm saying that on the issue of equity, Honorable Slough, you like me to debate with me. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And even say, if I can remind Honorable Member Slough, when we have last month the public hearings, we talk about those things. Honorable Slough, thank you.
Petra Essay, can I give back to you? All the questions starting from Honorable Grayling and all the rest of the questions.
Okay. Right, Chair, I will. I think the first question from the Honorable Member is the oil price and what is the a break-even point. Our break-even point, Chair, is
is just around, it's between 48 and $52 per barrel. I'm giving it in a range because there are many variables to it, in that we have a relatively high ratio of fixed costs, and also it's driven by the volumes that are being pushed through from the platform. So sometimes we are making a loss at the gate, that is at the refinery, because the volumes are low, whereas the price may be above the break-even point. So again, honourable member, it is not that straightforward. I hope you will appreciate that. The next question is the issue of tax liability and whether is an organization, what's our position and what's our view on tax. Again, the way the tax laws are created or done is that they are non-discriminatory. So we are tax, we pay tax as any other entity. However, because of the nature of the organization that we are, there are tax concessions that other oil companies do not have, because we, at the same time, quasi-mining, because in as far as the platform and the mining of gas is concerned, there we get a mining tax concessions. So we're not complaining about our tax issues. Our tax position. And the loan agreements or loans advanced to various subsidiaries, Equatorial Guinea, PDVSA, Egypt, PDVSA, Gabon. Our business, again, as the acting CEO indicated, that we are in exploration. And what the way we have arranged it, our business model, in fact, driven by the requirements or jurisdictions where we do exploration, that when we do such exploration, we do it through a company incorporated either in that country or in this country. And also for ourselves to, in a way, ring-fence risk into an individual subsidiary. So all those loans were loans advanced to those companies to carry out exploration. In Equatorial Guinea, yes, we were awarded an exploration opportunity in Equatorial Guinea. We had a commitment to drill exploration wells. We did drill a well. I think the extent or depth of that well was close to 5 kilometers, was 4.8 kilometers. I'm looking at my technical colleagues. And yes, we didn't come across any hydrocarbons, so which means it was not a successful drilling. That is the nature of exploration, that one may put in that lot of money, but one may not get anything. What is interesting in the block that we have been drilling, I am told that the block next door, next to that one, it's producing oil. So for us, we've been given a block adjacent to a producing block, and we were unfortunate. We didn't intersect any hydrocarbons. So again, we are still remaining in Equatorial Guinea. We're not going to run away, because in case we run away, somebody comes in, drills the block, and comes across oil. So we have extended our stay in Equatorial Guinea. Same in Egypt. In Egypt, we were drilling for gas. Again, we were not successful. The nature of the exploration business, hence those loans advanced. If one looks at the financial statements, we either write off those loans or we do what we
call impair them. When we impair them, we are saying we're still going to come back and prove value for that asset. So that is the reason why we treat them the way we have treated them. Madam Chair, the loss for the current year, 360 million. Again, last year, I think Madam Chair indicated we were in another room somewhere, I can't remember where we were. I said to the committee when I was reporting a profit of 1.9 billion, and I said, next year this time I'll be coming to report a loss. At that time, I estimated that loss to be over a billion rands. And again, as indicated, as management, we did all we could to contain costs, and so that loss is 360 million. It was expected, it was planned, and we knew because we could see on the horizon that there will be a loss. So for us as an organization, we were expecting it, but we were managing it to within acceptable levels. And then also, again, there is a question about the turnaround. The turnaround, I mean, again, the issues that led to the loss are known. We had a shutdown. There is no shutdown this year. And we had a loss of volumes, and we know the volumes are down, and we are, again, containing or ensuring that the costs do not go uncontrolled. And so the current year, if I may just give an indication, for the first 6 months, we are reporting, I think the profit is about 400 million rand. So there is no need for us to say, oh, there needs to be a turnaround strategy. Yes, there is an overall turnaround strategy, which is around the issue of sustainability, which other member had asked about the issue of should we keep the GTL running or not. What the acting CEO indicated was what we call it could be phase four, because since the FA platform, the GTL refinery existed, they have always been project to sustain its future. First, it was the phase one, which was FA fields, EM fields, South Coast Gas Development. Now, the phase four is the FO development, which we're talking about. We tried to come up with a solution of LNG. Madam Chair, last year we talked about LNG. We evaluated the LNG, and then we proved that the LNG at the existing prices was not commercial. So we then refocused on our own local resources. And again, another member asked about the issue of volumes, the 1 trillion, 1 TCF approved gas. The gas, I mean, the engineers tell us that the gas is there, it has been proven. The challenge is how to extract it. And because this is an area which, again, is not similar to the other areas that we have explored. So that is the challenge. So what we are doing, we have embarked on detailed studies to look at the best possible way of extracting the gas, because the call it geographic structure of the rock is different from where we have been, and that is why it's taking. Otherwise, we could have done, if it was similar with any other areas, we could have done the drilling and started developing. So that is the reason why we are embarking on detailed studies. The final investment decision for that is expected in January, February in the coming year. So that is again to ensure the sustainability of the GTL plant, as the acting CEO was indicating, that it is going to give us life extension to till about 2019-2020. Right. Sorry, Madam Chair, some of the questions I'm taking, because somehow they get linked, so I tend to jump around. Okay, the water issue. Again, this question, honourable member, has been asked a month ago. I was making a presentation to the insurance in Europe, and they said to me, "Isn't this reactive? Couldn't you foresee well on time that you're running into trouble?" But again, when we look at that slide, there is a slide which we, if I may quickly go there, without wasting your time, Madam Chair. Okay. When we look at this slide, I mean, the level of the dam, for a long time since we built the dam, but we say build the dam, and then handed it over to the local municipality to say, okay, fine, here is the dam, let's use it together. So the level of water has been good all these years, and nobody ever anticipated that one time we will have a huge drought like we have. When it dropped up to here, we realized that people say, ooh, we're having a problem. What can we do? We said, let's build a reverse osmosis plant. That is the plant that is recycling the sewage water. Okay? And the drop continued. We said, we invested on another thing, which was a storm water gathering system. But again, we realized, there won't be sewage water if this thing continues. There won't be storm if the drought continues. And then, again, within a reasonable time, we changed and got into a joint venture with the local municipality to build a desalination plant. We're not yet at a crisis stage. The dam, as you can note, is very low levels, and we are going to implement the desalination plant before the end of the year, is it December, and it will be still within us using the water dam. So there is no crisis per se. And okay, the issue of the employee or the irregular expenditure, which was picked up by the AG. Again, I think on this particular one, one can be as specific to say this relates to the J&B match end of January. Madam Chair, we have been as Petro SA for our stakeholder marketing activities, we've been participating on such events, J&B Met and North Sea Jazz Festival, as it was known. We invite our stakeholders, people we do business with. But when 2 years back we realized that it's no good times, we stopped doing that. Because of the, again, the, we call it financial crisis, economic slowdown. We cancelled those things. We took an executive decision that we're not going to participate on that. And then there is an official who felt or thought that she has the power to enter into a contract to sponsor the J&B Met. And then when we picked it up, it was within penalty period, so we could not pull out. So we had to ratify that by attending and making sure that that money is not thrown away. But the official was dealt with appropriately. So that is that one, Madam Chair. I think, Madam Chair, when I look at the my scribbling, I think I have I've dealt with all the questions.
There's a follow-up from Ms. Honorable Freiling.
No, I just see that clearly your principal decision not to fund stakeholder events didn't apply to the World Cup, where you spent over 16 million rand on that. I'm just interested to hear what your comments are on that. The other thing is that the other question that I asked around Equatorial Guinea and Egypt is, what is our interest in those countries? Now, I know there's large hydrocarbons, particularly in Equatorial Guinea. It's a very controversial country as well, and I'm interested as to how you ensure that you conduct your business very ethically there, because there's huge complaints about how things operate there. But I want to know, what's your intention, if you found gas, to then use that gas as a feedstock in your refineries down here? Was that the intention, or were you looking to sell it on the global market? Because I think it answers a very big question as to what PetroSA's mandate is. Is your mandate to go out there and find gas stocks to ensure that we can supply our local market with liquid fuels? If that is the case, then I'm interested as to how you were going to transport that gas down to South Africa, if there was going to be a pipeline, or whether you're going to transport that in ships, and how that affects the profitability around there. So I just want to get a clearer picture of what our mandate is, to see what the philosophy is behind going into different countries. I see you were even in Sudan, but now you've pulled out of Sudan. So I just like to get a sense of what your kind of mandate is with regards to that.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I quickly got to this slide, which is our core business, which is informed by the mandate. The first point is exploration and production of oil and natural gas, and which is basically that is upstream. So when we are doing exploration, we're not only exploring for gas, we're exploring for oil and or gas. In Equatorial Guinea, the block that we own or that we have the exploration rights is mainly or dominantly crude or oil gas, oil block. Security of supply or increased reserves, which again, it's part of our strategic or objectives. The reserves are oil and gas reserves. So if we have an oil discovery in Equatorial Guinea, and maybe it's compatible with our refineries in this country, we will bring it in, or we will trade it in the open market. If it is gas sufficient, I mean, to build say an LNG facility, we will do that. But if it's in like for instance in Egypt the gas is sold to the government or to the state, so we will also be compliant with that the requirements of that regime. So when we exploring, yes, we're not exploring solely for GTL feedstock purposes. We're exploring for access to reserves, be they oil or gas.
Are you finished?
Yes.
Okay. Are there some more questions from other members? No, I think that will be enough. Except to say for me, it's good that you've got an unqualified report, but the wasteful expenditure and paying for ticket fines I don't think it's acceptable, but it's good that your report is going to qualify. But thank you, Chair. You know you hijacked me. I'm giving over to you. That was not hijack. I was delegating power. Vested in me. So she's saying I was hijacking. No, thanks, then, Petro. I hope the questions were answered, were asked. I missed them. But I'm sure the HNCO will know, and the CFO. Last year, we gave you quite a lot of issues to work with. During the year, we never had a chance to call you back to come and talk about those issues. So we are going to do that this year. And I had the HNCO when she was presenting on the question of employment equity, women said, we hope that you are going to, we do not hope. You must do it. You are a state-owned entity. You are not a BP or Shell. You are a state-owned entity. You are going to correct that. Gordon was there. Well, Aaron said the same. And there were about 2-3 ones that were talking to this and promised us that they are going to do something. Today, I don't see them. I only see Gordon and Tabo. Those were here last year and yourself. And they can say, where are they? Where's the other team? Darren, where's he? Okay, all right. Okay, but I think we are going to follow up on some of those issues, and we hope that we'll be able to sort out a lot of these issues that are outstanding, as well as the follow up on the liquid fuels charter. We are going to call you to discuss with you a lot of those issues and barriers that people were raising. So to get good reports. Otherwise, thank you very much. The next presentation should be from Nexa, which is the last one. Nexa, you are the last to present. But CF, you can stay and Petro SA. They were supporting you, so you must provide solidarity with them. Don't leave. Yeah, you can succeed. If you want.